And that's me, Bill Buckmaster, with great news. It rained 2 to 3 minutes up at the Central Foothills location for the Buckmaster household. Boy, it was nice, but short-lived. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. John Couch on the other side of the glass, engineering, producing. Together, we welcome you to Buckmaster on this Tuesday, April 27th, 2021, now in our 11th year here on the radio, and we're in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com, where we take the piggyback live feed from kvoi.com, the live line on our show presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Well, the periods of drought here in the western United States have become longer over the past 50 years, according to a new study from researchers at the University of Arizona College of Agriculture and Life Sciences. This was a study in partnership with the USDA Agricultural Research Service. It was all about trying to understand the significant rainfall totals, the timing, and how they have changed over the last 5 decades. And the researchers analyzed daily weather records from over 300 long-term weather stations across the United States. And have they changed? You bet, especially here in the West. Now on the live line with us, co-senior author Dr. William Smith. Bill Smith is assistant professor in the School of Natural Resources and the Environment at the University of Arizona. Bill, how are you?
Doing well.
This conclusion that here in the West, the total annual rainfall has decreased by about 4 inches since the 1970s. That's pretty concerning, isn't it?
Yeah, and actually, that the number that it's decreased by is about 19 millimeters per decade. I think that that 4-inch number was something that got repeated in other news releases that wasn't quite accurate. The number is actually 19 millimeters per decade, which I believe translates to about 0.4 inches per decade.
So it's not as dramatic as 4 inches for sure, but it is. That's almost a half an inch. So that's pretty significant, isn't it?
It is. But actually, one of the main key findings of the study that we put out was that what we did that was unique was we analyzed daily precipitation data. And one of the keys that we found for the full West was that not that the total precip was necessarily going down across the full region, but the number of dry days between rain events was increasing, and it was increasing pretty dramatically. So there is where we saw upwards of 50% increases in the number of dry days between rain events over the full period of the study from the mid-1970s to 2019.
This was particularly, you were focusing in on the desert southwest, correct?
So that was for the full region. When we focus in on the desert southwest, we do actually see some pretty dramatic changes. So focused in now on the desert southwest, we do see reductions in precipitation. So those are on the order of 19 millimeters per decade, which is quite significant. So reductions in precipitation, a lot of that reduction in precipitation we see happening in the winter. But in addition to that, which has already kind of been shown a little bit in other research, we find that precipitation variability is increasing. So extremes are changing. So we're seeing more frequent extreme dry years. And then on top of that, we're seeing this dry interval between rain events going up quite dramatically.
People often, the old timers, refer to the monsoon as you could set your watch by the monsoon. Back in the day, they would say the big cloud clouds would build up about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and we get a nice shower. One thing that I've noticed in over 30 years here in town, we just don't see that anymore. We have these longer dry periods that you talk about. And then when we do get the rain, it will come perhaps in torrents that can be devastating. There is a change, isn't there, in our summer rainy season?
Definitely, yeah. By looking at these data over this long period, we see this pretty steady increase in the number of dry days between these events, which is consistent with this idea that we may be seeing this shift towards less frequent but maybe more intense rain events.
Overall, what do you peg this current drought as about 20 years? I've heard that. What are you saying, Will Smith, as far as how long the current drought we are in has been going on?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, that's something that we did not specifically focus on in this analysis, but from looking at other research that's tried to characterize the current drought that we're within, I think the beginning time's been estimated to be around the early 2000s.
What was the component about supporting desert agriculture in this climate change? You have set up something, I believe, that is called, what is it, grass cast. What is that about, Will?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. So actually, in this state where we've noticed these pretty dramatic shifts in when precipitation is coming, when we're seeing this increased frequency in kind of extreme years, we've realized that there needs to be more information provided to the management community. So GrassCast is a short-term forecast for rangeland productivity that we make available for the Great Plains region, and now we've just expanded to offer this tool for the Southwest. So we make this tool available for all of Arizona and all of New Mexico also. And what this tool does is actually starting right about now in April, we start providing estimates of what we think grassland productivity is going to look like for the growing season. And we hope that this will help land managers with things like grazing allotments and how they manage the land that they use. We think this is a particularly important tool to make available given this change that we're seeing across the region and the uncertainty that a lot of the management community faces.
In light of what we're seeing with this drying climate, it's kind of ironic that places like Phoenix are leading one of the top five cities in terms of growth. And of course, that brings up the question, these likely long-lasting and significant consequences, what they will be for social and ecological systems in the western United States. Some of your thoughts on that, please, Will Smith.
Yeah, so some of the impacts that we might see include things like increases in wildfire occurrence, which we've already been seeing, right? We could also see reductions in the amount of water available for human consumption. We already know that we face that we're at kind of a close margin in terms of how much water is already available for our needs. This could lead to reductions in the amount of production on rangelands and negatively impacting grazing allotments and land managers that depend on grazing of natural lands. This could also lead to increasing demand for irrigation. So this would be a compounding impact on the amount of water that's available. What we're seeing is higher temperatures and additionally longer periods between rain events, meaning that all of our crops, all of our natural lands need to withstand these longer periods of stress under higher temperatures. And these two things present this kind of double whammy, really. So ultimately, what I think is needed is more research to better quantify the amount of water that we have available and to look for ways to more efficiently manage that water and distribute that. And you've pointed out a great major challenge, the fact that we're seeing some of the highest growth rates in population across these regions.
All right. Very good information. Thank you very much, Dr. William Smith, Bill Smith, assistant professor in the UA School of Natural Resources and the Environment, and really this landmark new study from the researchers at the University of Arizona College of Agriculture and Life Sciences, teaming up with the USDA Agricultural Research Service. Bill, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Bill Smith with us on the study that shows longer, more frequent periods of drought will continue to plague the western United States. That certainly is not good news, but probably not a surprise to those of us who've been around, and especially after last year's non-soon, where the summer rainy season really didn't show up. And we're hoping that is hoping it's an anomaly and not something we'll see this year. Mona's Danish Bakery and home of the Danish Kringle. They are open right now, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mona is very reliable for an outstanding Scandinavian pastry known as the Kringle. Flaky layers, light and tasty, and a multi-layered pastry that is certainly mouth-watering. Open right now for lunch at Mona's, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They're on the web at monasdanishbakery.com. Call ahead, or you can order your goods online, or best yet, I think, just stop by and enjoy Mona's Danish Bakery, where the Help Wanted sign is still out. If you're looking for a great opportunity, why not Mona's? We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And Shelley Fishman always has lots to say and very informative, and he joins us each Tuesday at this time. Shelley, how are you, sir?
I'm well and a tiny bit damp.
Yeah, like I say, the shower lasted 2 to 3 minutes. I should have run outside and enjoyed it. Maybe
not supposed to rain in April.
No. Well, I could take it any day. And yeah, after really? That, after that drought report, not looking that great. But the market's been looking pretty good, pretty great actually.
Markets in near record territory. Yeah. It's kind of holding the advances in the indices since the election. Have actually been the highest on record since like the middle 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
So the market is liking what it's hearing. I think it's just liking the normalcy that seems to be back in the national discourse.
One particular industry has been on fire, and that is home building, the housing industry. Good luck trying to find lumber. And if you do find lumber, look at the price. It seems to be going up every day. As a reflection, that home building really has taken off, and people, Tucson market is one of the hottest in the country for real estate.
Yeah, Arizona in general is doing very, very well on the real estate market. And part of the reason the markets for housing are doing as well as they are is because mortgage rates, interest rates, have been low and stayed low. In fact, last week, they sank again below 3%. So the incentives for people to buy homes now is pretty high. And, there's a scarcity of inventory on the market. So people are competing for what's there.
Well, that brings people that have a mortgage to try to determine perhaps the timing. Is this the right time to refinance?
Yeah, from time to time, Bill, I complain about things that are going on in the media that are encouraging people to do things that people really need to think more carefully about before they kind of jump into some of these things they're being encouraged to do. Right now, because mortgage rates are low, people are being encouraged to refinance. And this all reminds me of the kind of media blitz that we heard in 2005, 2006, where people were using their homes because home values were going up. People were using the equity that had been built up in their homes as kind of credit cards or cash machines, essentially, to take that money out of their homes. And because economics runs in cycles, when that reversed, then people found that they had they were in far too much debt and they didn't have the equity in their homes. Then when they went to sell them, they found that they really couldn't buy anywhere else. So they were stuck there and very often underwater.
Well, is it a good time? What considerations, let me put it that way, should someone take when they're looking at putting all of this down on paper? Is this the right time to refinance?
So there's two reasons to refinance. Okay. When you have lower interest rates. One is to reduce your cash flow so that your monthly payments go down. And the other is to pull cash out because you have, over the years, gained some equity in your house, and perhaps the appraised price will go up, and so you can borrow against that. So let's talk about each one of those things. The first one is cash reduction. So let's say you have a 4% mortgage and the current rates are 3%. So if you were to just refinance that mortgage, for the same kind of mortgage that you have, say a 30-year fixed, your cash flow will go down.
Significantly?
Well, it could. Go down, you know, 20, 25%. That's a pretty significant number.
Yeah.
Except you're now taking a loan that you may have paid, let's say, 10 years into.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of your payment now is going toward principal.
Right.
And somebody's convincing you to go buy another 30-year mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to make an additional 10 years of payments. So, you know, the first thing that should go off in your mind is, what are my total cash flows over the period of the loan? Now, if you're expecting to sell the house in a couple of years anyway, it probably doesn't matter. But if you expect to stay in that house, then it makes utterly no sense to refinance a loan that you're, say, one-third or a half paid off for a new 30-year mortgage. Now, if you, let's say you have 15 years left on your mortgage.
You're halfway there.
And you're halfway there,
right.
And you can refinance for a 15-year loan,
mm-hmm,
or a 20-year loan. And, you know, some finance companies are offering very flexible time periods. Then if you can match the number of years in the new loan with the number of years you have left and still come up with some you know, lower cash flow, then I'd say that's something to seriously consider. But to retire a 30-year loan that you're 10 years into for a new 30-year loan is something you really need to think twice about.
Boy,
and not a good idea.
That makes common sense. I mean, it seems very common sense. So if you're halfway into a 30 and you can get a real attractive 15 to kind of, you're not going to go extra years, that sounds pretty attractive.
It can be. It can be very attractive.
Get
a good financial calculator, mm-hmm, or somebody who knows how to, mm-hmm, use one,
yeah,
and work out the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing we talked about is the possibility that you can actually take money out of the house, because either the appraised value has gone up significantly, and, you know, real estate values here in Tucson have been climbing, you know, pretty much across the board, but certainly in certain certain groups of housing.
Mm-hmm.
And if the mortgage rates are down, then it might be tempting to do. My advice there is to be very careful with doing that. One of the ways you can accomplish the same thing is to take a second mortgage,
mm-hmm,
and make it an equity loan. In other words, a home equity loan where you're taking advantage of a low initial rate. And let's say you have a specific use for that money. If you think interest rates are going to stay low for a while, you know, usually you can get a lock-in on the rate for a fixed amount of time, understanding that after that amount of time, the rate could shoot up if interest rates have gone up. But if you want to, let's say you think you're going to sell a house in 5 years or retire and move or whatever, and you can get a 5-year fixed on an equity loan, that might be a much better way of getting money out of the house than refinancing the first mortgage. So in both cases, refinancing that first mortgage is, I think, something you have to, you know, I'd say it ought to be a last resort, but it's certainly something you need to understand all the numbers around.
Well, people want to get as much out of their home while they're still alive. So, I mean, it's just, you have to really crunch those numbers.
You really do. And they're, you know, I hate to say it, but most people are not capable of working those numbers on their own.
Right.
And you have to be very, very wary of using a mortgage salesperson, a mortgage, mm-hmm, broker, mm-hmm, to crunch those numbers for you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that mortgage brokers are not honest,
mm-hmm,
but I am saying that they have some, you know, they have some skin in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you're an investor, if you have a financial advisor, that's a good way to sit down with the financial advisor and say, look, in terms of my overall financial plan, I'm kind of considering this. Is it a good idea or not?
Right.
And so use the skill levels that your financial advisor probably has.
And then there's the bigger question. We'll save that for another session about a housing bubble.
Well, yeah, that's another question entirely. But that kind of is linked with the idea that interest rates may not stay this low forever.
Right.
Though they've been low for a long time.
How long? I mean.
Well, they did climb up a little bit over the last decade, but then came down again. Interest rates are just low right now. And, you know, we've talked about inflation and the chances that interest rates could go up as a result of all the spending we're doing in the economy. So the risks are there. But, you know, the truth is we're just not seeing any indications. Here's all these, you know, panic about inflation,
sure.
inflation,
yeah.
all this spending, and interest rates drop below 3% again. Mm. So, you know, again, both eyes open going in, and don't listen to all the hype you hear on television and the radio.
All right. Good advice, as usual, from Shelley Fishman. And Shelley has his Tuesday Moneymaker Report every Tuesday right here about 12:20 in the afternoon. And Shelley, we wish you well. Hope you have a great rest of the week, and we'll see you next Tuesday.
Stay dry.
All right. Buckmaster Show continues mid, well, I almost said midweek edition. I'm jumping the gun there. Tuesday edition in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Our guests appear courtesy Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Enjoy the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley. Savor the view while sipping on locally brewed craft beer and enjoying gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, at West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehops.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show Tuesday edition in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. That extraordinary collection at Zocalo Village at Green Things of the Talavera Pottery Antiques. They've got some beautiful handcrafted dining room and kitchen tables. My goodness, out of mesquite. Check it out, Zocalo Village, and it's part of Green Things, 3384 East River Road. Green Things on the 13 acres of amazing plants, trees, annuals, and more. Open daily. The website, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Going to be 100 degrees. Oh, my goodness, too early for that. Coming up on Saturday, and a lot of people will be going to the pool, so it's a very good time to bring in Bill Spurbeck, the founder and owner of CPR, to you on the program. Bill, it's always good to see you.
Nice to see you, Bill.
And
every year.
Yeah, every year we do this, and it's very important that we do. Ramon Valdez is also with me in studio, former Pima County Supervisor, and Ramon is going to be heading up, and is heading up, really, a new organization called MedCare to you. Ramon, good to see you.
Pleasure to be back, Bill.
Tell me a little bit, Bill, about CPR. To you, how many years since you started this? You're a former firefighter. You've got a lot of first responders who know what they're doing for sure. These are people that were on the front lines. How'd this whole thing come about real quickly, Bill?
So we actually just celebrated our 10th year anniversary in March.
10 years already?
10 years.
Wow.
And I actually was doing some research in February with our software we use, and as of, I think it was February 26, 27, just with CPR, the basic life support, we've done over 71,000 students here in Tucson. We also do some advanced training for physicians, nurses, doctors, our paramedics, and things like that. So it's been successful.
Think of the lives that have been saved by getting the knowledge of that CPR to that many people. It's just incredible.
It is. And in fact, we started last year where we're actually collecting information in class and then actually doing a social media story on the person. And it's pretty amazing. In every class, we have 2 to 3 students raise their hand, and it's CPR that's done outside of the hospital setting. Again, 2 to 3 people in the class raise their hand, and we end up doing a social media story on them, and it's pretty amazing as far as what we come across.
And Ramon, you joined the organization, and what have you learned since you joined?
You know what,
the obvious learning CPR, which we all should do. Go ahead.
You know, one of the things that's so fantastic is that CPR is a life-saving skill. So one of the things that I enjoy so much is exactly what you talked about. We actually are teaching those that are saving lives. So we're making a real and genuine difference in our community, and that means a lot to me personally.
Was it difficult to learn CPR?
Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all.
How long do you think it takes?
We could probably get it done in 15 to 30 minutes, but obviously we have to follow the curriculum,
sure.
And that usually takes about 3 to 5 hours, depending on the class.
Bill, are you teaming up with KVOA Channel 4 again this year like you do every summer?
Yeah, this is our 6th year. Last year, the numbers were down, obviously, with COVID, but
sure.
Typically we train anywhere from 11 to 1,200 people
mm-hmm.
A year. The training is free. They get certified in CPR. We accept children all the way down to the age of 8. But one of the requirements is that one of the parents attends with somebody that's less than 18 years of age. So it's pretty common where we'll get families of 4 or 5, you know, that sign up.
Nothing could be more devastating, Bill. You've seen a lot of the unfortunate consequences of young people drowning in backyard pools. And I know you, as a first responder, nothing really hits as hard as that.
Yeah, no, it's difficult. This year starts 38 years as a paramedic.
Wow.
This actually hit home to me about, I think it's going to be 5 years this Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've shared the story with you, but my brother and his wife would go into a local Mexican restaurant every year for Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm.
He sat down, went into cardiac arrest.
Yep.
Nobody had done CPR on him. He ended up passing away. And then about, a year or so ago, with one of our clients, it's a local education school, I happened to go sit in the class,
mm-hmm.
and the instructor, typically instructors talk about my brother. This girl raised her hand,
mm-hmm.
and she said she was sitting at the next table when this happened.
Oh my goodness.
And it's kind of deja vu, as
yeah.
I typically don't go into the classroom much,
no.
and talked to her at break, and she described what he looked like, and she was only 14 or 15 at the time.
And that was
but
your
she
brother.
Said, yeah, I heard him fall and hit the ground.
Wow, that was your brother in the yeah. next booth.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this new organization, MedCare to You. How is this going to be set up, and how is it set up, Ramon? I guess you're up and running.
It's we are up and running as of March 1st.
Okay.
Think about this way. If when you have an urgent care kind of health issue,
mm-hmm.
How often do we call our doctor, our primary care physician, and say, oh, we'll get you in next month? That's not going to do you any
no.
good.
No.
We'll see you right then, almost immediately. We take the best of both worlds. The initial call is on telemedicine, but if you need a provider there in at your home, we'll send you a provider. We'll even deliver the prescriptions.
Really?
Yes, we will.
And this service, how does it work?
We actually have a subscription-based program based on the level.
A client would subscribe.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
On a yearly basis? Or
on yeah. a monthly. It's a monthly basis.
Okay, monthly
right.
basis.
So they go into their patient portal, set up the appointment, say you've got an 8 o'clock meeting,
uh-huh.
but you need to see somebody at 9. You set it up for 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
We'll send you the link. If you're on your phone, just press the link. You're ready to go. We'll use telemedicine for that initial visit.
Mm-hmm.
If they assess that you need someone to come to your location and, for example, when you're dehydrated, give you an IV,
mm-hmm.
we'll deploy someone to go meet you at your home and mm-hmm. Give you that IV. We also will deliver prescriptions to you if that's what's necessary to make you feel better.
Mm. Bill, this sounds like a great new service.
Yeah, we've been working on it for about a year. We would have
obviously
launched.
You felt there was a need in the community
yeah.
that this is a niche that could be filled,
yeah.
right?
There's
yeah.
a need, and then another part of our service is we're in a number, I think we're about 15 resorts mm-hmm. and hotels that, let's say, Bill, you're on vacation, you wake up with a sore throat.
Yes.
You contact us directly
mm-hmm.
From the comfort of your hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
You have that telemedicine visit with one of our providers, physician, nurse practitioner, and again, like Ramon says, is if you just need an antibiotic, we deliver an antibiotic to your room. If you need something more, like Ramon had mentioned, some IV therapy, you're dehydrated,
mm-hmm.
or some basic medications, a paramedic actually comes out to your location and does that.
And that's set up through our hotels?
Yeah, our
wow.
resorts, hotels, and...
You know, if they want more information, they
sure.
can certainly contact me at Ramon at MedCare2UAZ.com,
mm-hmm.
Or they can visit our website.
And how is MedCare2U spelled out?
MedCare, numeral 2, letter U, AZ.com.
Is this an expensive service, or is it reasonable in your opinion?
I'll tell you what,
yeah.
our premier plan runs about $1.60 a day.
$1.60 a day.
$1.60, not $160.
$1.60.
$1.60.
Bill, when you were researching this to set up this corporation, had you seen it being done in other cities?
Nothing to the degree what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there are companies out there that will actually come to your house.
Yes.
And do what we're
they
doing.
They call that kind of concierge
medicine. Yes.
Yeah.
And
which can be pretty darn expensive.
It could be expensive. Number two, when you feel sick,
mm-hmm.
you don't want strangers in your house.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
With that. And
yeah.
We're actually a lot more convenient and actually quicker response, like Ramon said,
mm-hmm.
a click of a button, you're on a telemedicine visit with a physician or a nurse practitioner.
Okay. Bill, your organization's, again, your website, CPR, the numeral 2U. Yep. .com.
Correct. And also, real quick, Bill, there's a link there that says KVOA. So if you're interested in getting yourself or your family trained, feel free to register. And this is not for the healthcare professional. This is for the community responders.
Right.
And it's free.
And it's free. That's very important. And again, Ramon, your organization, your website about this new company that's really been only up and running about 2 months.
Correct.
Yeah, go ahead with your website.
It's Medcare, M-E-D-C-A-R-E, numeral 2-U-A-Z.com.
That sounds like both of these are terrific services for our community.
Yeah, and I'll mention one more if I have time,
Real
Bill.
Quickly, Bill.
It's another educational institute. So basically, we're starting where we're doing a six-week program where somebody will get trained as a phlebotomist and a cardiac tech.
Wow.
And in 6 weeks, you have both certifications, so... your employment opportunities are endless on that.
This day and age, you kidding me? Anything in the healthcare profession looks real promising about now.
Yeah, and at 520-256-7900 if somebody would like some further information.
Bill Spurbeck, always a pleasure
thank you,
to
Bill.
See you,
me
Bill.
Too.
Congratulations
Every year.
On
thank
your
you.
Success.
Yeah.
10 years I have known you, and you're doing great things over there. And Ramon Valadez, good to see you again, and congratulations with this new startup company, Medcare to You. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank
good
you.
To be back.
All right. Buckmaster Show continues. We'll have our Tucson tourism update. Things are slowly coming back on that front. We'll hear from Dan Gibson right after this.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. A busy Tuesday here on the program. Lots of content that we put in our one-hour program. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, so happy that they're once again welcoming out-of-state visitors to that area as New Mexico opens up. So now would be a great time to log into Southwest New Mexico, spelled out, .org. And then when you go there to the website, you will see all sorts of opportunities to recreate and some great places to stay as well. So check it out. Get ready for your three-hour drive. Not a bad drive at all, east of Tucson to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. It's time for our monthly tourism update with Dan Gibson of Visit Tucson. Dan, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing real well. And just like New Mexico opening up, Arizona has been open pretty much all along. But the rollout of tourism is, it's slow, but things seem to be picking up. Is that assessment fairly accurate, Dan Gibson?
No, it absolutely is. I mean, you're seeing the leisure travel continue to pick up. I feel like, you know, I say this every month, but I mean, last week got the numbers back for March, and we had 62% occupancy in Tucson hotel rooms. That was up from 48% in 2020. Yeah, so I mean, it's the first time it's been over 60% in the pandemic era. Now we are still. And the rate that we were getting for those rooms was going up, all good things. Obviously, we lagged a little bit behind the Phoenix area because they had spring training during that month. A market like San Antonio had the women's Final Four. Palm Springs had a really high rate, but not that great occupancy. So, I mean, you're starting to see some of that stuff happen. Now we're getting into the space where it's sort of interesting because now the sort of arms race of marketing the destination is happening, right? You're starting to see that. I was watching a soccer game the other day, and Kissimmee, Florida was advertising on a Chelsea West Ham English Premier League game. I was like, okay, sure, that is a strategy for Kissimmee, but and you're seeing, you know, some of the federal dollars that are coming through. Through localities are getting passed on to tourism organizations, and we're in conversations with the city and county on, you know, seeing if some of that funding can come to us to promote tourism. But like New York City passed, I think, $20 million to their DMO the other day to boost tourism. And so you're going to see a lot of ads for tourism, Tucson included. But, you know, it there's money to be spent. And the Biden administration has made that sort of, you know, everything is infrastructure, including tourism promotion. And so some of that money is coming through to start encouraging people to travel. The catch is, you know, we still have Mexico and Canada borders that are closed-ish, is probably the best way to put it. So, you know, you still are losing some of those opportunities, but domestic travel, Every week, more people are wanting to travel. Every week, more people are indicating that they're ready to do it. And people are starting to, you know, book those flights and make those choices.
I'm seeing Visit Tucson is doing a lot of Facebook advertising as you promote our area.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the thing that's most effective for us as, you know, being able to track the results and to sort of be nimble, right, based on what markets are doing well and you know, places that are interested in Tucson is a lot of Facebook, Instagram, you know, Pinterest even are really effective ways for us to get that message out. We do not have the budget of a Scottsdale or, you know, Los Angeles or some of these other you know, larger DMOs. So, you know, we want to be more strategic with how we get in front of people and make sure we get to the right consumer and try to catch them at the right time. So it's changing every day. We're on in emails with the company that we work with that books some of those digital ads, and then our own social team. And it's just like, it's this sort of constant adjustment, right? Like, there's a lot of traffic coming in from Chicago on our website. Oh, there's a lot of traffic coming in about biking or things like that, or an article that runs in a publication that we can sort of capitalize on. So the advantages we do have as Visit Tucson is, you know, as a little bit of a smaller organization, is that we can make those choices as quickly as, you know, as possible and really try to catch an audience when the iron is hot.
Well, San Diego normally advertises in this market, but now they have really gone heavy into the internet, well, national, with national buys on a lot of national TV shows. I think I saw one on the Academy Awards show. So they're spending a lot of money, and they probably got a lot of money to spend. And I notice one thing that keeps popping up in all of these ads. We have safe and responsible tourism in our particular destination. So safety, health, big selling points, Dan Gibson.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you can see the ideological struggle happen in real time, right? When people are talking about masks and whether they feel safe in a place and what it's going to take for them to feel safe. It's such a big part of the conversation. You know, people have a variety of opinions by all means, and I think it's easier said than done. I think all of us are going to put in our ads, like, try to give them the idea that, it's very safe. Of course it is, right? The rubber meets the road when you're actually somewhere. It really is important for people to see people wearing masks, to see that businesses are still holding to those regulations, that they are being thoughtful about safety in real time, right? Like, it turns people off, and that's when you start to see these, like, it's very difficult to overcome a social, an organic social campaign of people saying, well, I went to fill in the blank and no one was wearing masks.
Right? Yeah.
People are going to make a pretty instant decision that they don't want to be there because of that. So my message to Sonans, please do not cause hassles for your local restaurateurs. They're asking you to wear a mask, put one on. If you're out and about and walking in proximity to people, please keep wearing them. It's not the public health issue aside, which is certainly a significant one. It's also a message to people around you.
Dan Gibson, we had a kind of a mini scaled down gem show that just wrapped up, and I've heard some people say to me, there was a gem show I didn't even know. I guess kind of mixed results on how that all went down.
Yeah, I mean, so much of that market really is international, right?
Right.
Is that people coming from Europe and coming from really all over the world. That's sort of what the tipping point is. And then when you don't have the big shows at the TCC, it's just the volume isn't going to be the same. That being said, it did allow some of these businesses to operate. It does remind us how much of the gem show is local in a lot of ways, is that some of these businesses are here year-round. They are selling year-round. That what was once isolated to a couple weeks in January is now a year-round business for this region. We are in the business of gem and minerals all the time. So those are the positives of it. And it was an opportunity for people to still get out there. 22nd Street Show did really well. The Jog Show, some of the bigger players in that space were doing well. But yeah, when you don't see the full on, like, total congestion factor of the, of all the restaurants being full and all the streets being full and maybe the cars turning, all the way down the street, it does have a different effect. You're not seeing the same sort of, like, incredible volume that we see with the gem show, but it was a good opportunity to work out some of those kinks too, about having an event in the, I don't want to say post-COVID era, but you know what I mean? Like the waning days of the pandemic, hopefully.
Right. Kind of we're in the reentry time, for the post-pandemic.
Yeah. It allows you to see how events might work, allow the Pima County Health Department and the vendors and people running events to have conversations about how that works. That's sort of a constantly evolving thing. And they were able to have some of these things safely by all accounts. So that's progress. It's not the Super Bowl of gems yet, but next year it'll be hopefully back in full swing.
All right, Dan Gibson from Visit Tucson. We will catch up with you. I think Friday we're going to be, you'll be hosting Weekend Watch for the traveling Matt Russell. So we'll look forward to your report at the end of our program on Friday. Thanks, Dan Gibson.
Thank you.
All right, the Buckmaster Show wrapping it up on Tuesday afternoon. Thanks to John Couch, engineering and producing the show. And we've got Dave Ramsey and from the Ramsey Solutions program coming up next. Have a great afternoon, everybody.